Today on Real Radio.
Look at the next verse, 11. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. How many men? Three men. You got three times the vision. You've got three men standing there as witnesses. God is making a statement to these guys. And the beautiful thing is, he's trying to bring the point across to them that he now knows himself is that God saves Gentiles. And aren't you glad about that?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the first 18 verses of chapter 11. The gospel of Israel's Messiah had come to the Gentiles, a result of Peter's dream where he had visions of unclean animals. You know the account if you've been following along here on Real Radio. Well, now Peter recounts his vision to some skeptical Jews, but he does this in very Jewish terms. It's a fascinating lesson on just one of the ways the Holy Spirit of Almighty God works. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in the Spirit-Filled Gentile Church.
And I saw an object, verse 5, descending like a great sheet let down from heaven. Heaven! Oh, yes! He's scoring major points in court here before this Jewish council. Hey, Peter, I knew. They're probably leaning over. I knew he was okay. You guys just jumped to conclusions. It's okay. He's going to be fine. So he's really setting them up. Verse 6, when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. You see, men, how kosher I am? I'm just like you. And it's wonderful that God used the big Jewish kahuna, Peter, to be the one to receive this message from God. It wasn't Philip. It wasn't somebody else. It was Peter, the big guy. So he comes in. He goes, now listen, I'm so kosher, I'll tell you how kosher I am. I was praying. And they all went, ooh, yeah. Right on. Was it a trance? Yeah, whoa, hey, preach it, brother. I saw a vision. Amen. It came out of heaven. Yeah. Well, what'd you see? This incredible sail coming down out of the sky had a bunch of unclean animals running around in it. Now you can see their brow is beginning to kind of crinkle a little bit. What kind of... Peter! What's going on here? And I heard this. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Look at verse 9. But the voice answered me again from heaven. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Verse 10. Now this was done how many times? How many times? Three times. Why three times? Because it's a Jewish audience. Three times. You see how neat God is? And Peter's picking up on this. You could hear him right now. He goes, this was done to me three times. He probably went like this. Or whatever the three sign is in Hebrew, you know. Three times. This was done three times. Why three times? Because the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 19:15 that at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Peter knew that. God knew that. Revealing it to the Jews in the mouth of two or three. He sees this vision three times. No problem. Look at the next verse, 11. at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. How many men? Three men. You got three times the vision. You've got three men standing there as witnesses. God is making a statement to these guys. And the beautiful thing is, he's trying to bring the point across to them that he now knows himself is that God saves Gentiles. And aren't you glad about that? My mother-in-law had a little basket, and we had these fall leaves in at your table. It's kind of fun. And at each of your place settings, had your name tag there, and like I was going to lose my place. I mean, any plate in front of me with food must be my spot, you know? But my name tag's there with this beautiful fall leaf, and as the little basket came around, you would take the leaf, and you would pronounce to the people what you're thankful for, and then put the leaf in the basket, and then she puts it in the family archives when it's all done, kind of a thing. And it's a lot of fun. But how often, as we went around that table, I thank you for saving me, Jesus, for salvation. Aren't you glad you can say that? Do you realize who we are? We're the same people Jesus hung around with. Tax collectors. Any of you work for the IRS or any of those guys? Don't raise your hand. Could be a riot. Any of you prostitutes? Jesus hung around prostitutes. Businessmen? College grads? Judas had his degree. Jesus hung around us all. It's the people who were too, hey, I don't need you, Jesus, that he didn't associate with. They wouldn't let him near him. But I just praise the Lord that God still calls nothing common or unclean. And how is he able to do that? But by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for that. And he has given us life. And we rejoice in that. Three times, three men. Very, very significant to the Jewish audience that he is involved with. Look at verses 12 to 16. We see Exhibit B. Exhibit B is the witness of the Holy Spirit himself. The witness of the Spirit. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. That is, you could hear Peter almost turn the knife a little bit. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them, not drawing lines of separation. By the way, you just did. Not doubting nothing, says the Scripture. These six brethren, listen to this. These six brethren accompanied me, and we went and entered the man's house. So Peter plus six is how many people? Seven people. Interestingly enough, check this out. Did some little research on this. This is kind of fun. In Egyptian law, seven witnesses resulted in a no contest in court. Whatever the case was, it was settled by the testimony of seven witnesses in Egyptian court. Peter plus the six guys. Check this out. In Roman law, which is the law that governed the area at this time, seven witnesses were required to establish a statement as being a fact or a document that had seven seals stamped on it or taped to it, bonafide its authenticity. That's why in the book of Revelation you see the seven-sealed scroll. It is a bonafide document of God's judgment. In Roman law, seven seals on a statement or on a written document meant that it was authoritative. Peter's got six guys plus himself. God has covered every base. Not only that, I know this study might sound redundant for you, and do you realize something? As I was preparing this, I thought, this is kind of like we've gone through this, Lord, the last couple weeks. You want to know what? It's exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted to happen. Parchment came in lengths of maximum 35 feet. It's interestingly enough that according to historians, the book of Acts occupied 35 feet of parchment when Luke got done with it. Then why, if parchment was so precious, why is he rehashing even the vision again in Scripture? Why is he redoing it again? Why do we have a repeat so close together? Because of the magnitude of what is meant here, that the Gentiles could be not only saved, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's making a statement. The Holy Spirit, you know from 1 Timothy, is the author of Scripture. Very powerful what's going on here. Verse 13, and he told us how we had seen an angel, verse 12, then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house. Again, this is a strong point for the Jewish audience that's standing before him. Angels. They believed would be God's special agents. They were in the Old Testament. They were looking for them still in the New. Who said, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. Remember last week we told you that Cornelius was not yet saved? Here's the proof text right here, verse 14. They believed in God, but they were not born again. They believed in God, but they were not born again. He had no assurance of salvation. This word saved is the Greek word sozo, and it means to be safe or preserved or to be delivered from judgment. And prior to this, Cornelius had no assurance of that. You want to jot this down in your Bible. You can have assurance of that. We've been telling you that over these last couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Are you saved this morning? Listen to this. 1 John 5:13, you know this well. For these things have I written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if our earthly house, that is this tent, our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Assurance that if you died today, you have, isn't it neat to realize, a body that you're going to get in heaven? And in my cartoon mind, I see this rack and there's this suit hanging there, empty, waiting for me to fill it up. A suit made for heaven. I'm beginning to doubt if my body is even made for earth anymore. But we've got a body, the assurance. And that's good news. It says in verse 15, I want you to hang on to your seats, and I want to spend really the rest of the study time that we've got left, not much, but on this important fact. Listen to verse 15. And as I began to speak, Peter says, the Holy Spirit fell upon, circle that in your Bible, fell upon them as upon us, at the beginning. In verse 15, you can draw an arrow all the way to verse 45 of chapter 10, because he is the gift. That is the gift. Listen carefully, you guys. I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to say something that might freak you out. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised in John chapter 14, the coming upon experience of the Holy Spirit was a gift. In Acts 10:45, it says that there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 11:15, right here, it says, Peter says, now listen, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. No distinctions. Well, what is he referring to? He's referring to Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. I want to ask you something. Listen carefully. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, were the 120 gathered in that upper room believers? Yes, they were. Were they born again? Yes, they were. You're going to have to really put your thinking cap on. This is tough. When they received Jesus, that is Cornelius, as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came in them and upon them. I'll prove it to you in a moment. Hang on. You cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit coming inside you. Are you with me? It's impossible. Question. Before Jesus Christ died on the cross, was Peter born again? The answer is no. He was not born again. Was Philip born again? No. Or Andrew? James? No. They were not born again. Were they believers? Yes. If they would have died before Jesus had given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, would they have been saved? Trick question. Would they have been saved? Well, didn't they believe in God? Yes. Did they believe in God as much as King David believed in God? Of course they did. Isaiah, Jeremiah, sure they did. If they would have died before Jesus had given the Holy Spirit, they would have been saved, but under the old covenant. Are you with me? They would have gone to Abraham's bosom. Are you with me? Just like Daniel and Abraham and all of the patriarchs did. Would they have eventually gotten to heaven where God dwells? Yes. But were they born again? No. You cannot be born again without, the scripture tells us, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And that has to take place on the inside of you. So Peter, this is tough, draw a line right in the middle of your head in your vision. Peter is saved under the Old Testament, but there's a moment of transition taking place where Peter comes into the New Testament. By the looks of your faces, I'm confusing you. Listen up. Watch this. The Old Testament function of the Holy Spirit was basically twofold. Number one, he convicted people. Number two, like in Samuel 10, 6, he came upon people. But he never indwelt people inside. That's why David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Are you with me? You can never say that right now if you're a believer. The Holy Spirit, the moment you became a believer, moved inside you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, by one Spirit you were baptized into the body of Christ. But does that mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. You can be born again and go into heaven and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Until the New Testament came, you only had those two functions. In the New Testament time, you have three functions of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not making this up. You study this for yourself. There are three Greek prepositions to the moving of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Three of them. Only two in the Old. Now there's three. Get this. John 14, 16. And 17 says, and I will pray the Father, Jesus speaking, and I will give you another Eliezer, Parakletos, Helper, Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Forever. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. No longer true in the New Testament. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it does not know him, neither does it see him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, same as the Old Testament, same as the New, with, the word means alongside you, and shall be in you. Listen, people, in John 14, the Holy Spirit did not yet dwell in them. They were not yet born again, though the Holy Spirit was alongside them. Do you know what the Holy Spirit was doing? He was doing what he did in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Where God says there that my spirit will not always strive with man. It means my spirit will not push, correct, draw along, point them to God. God says there's coming a day when my spirit will not always do that. But the Holy Spirit for now is alongside every human ever born in this world saying, you need Jesus. You need your sins forgiven. You don't have the hope of heaven. If you die tonight, you're scared. He drives you. He's striving with your sin and your sinful ways. If you're not a Christian this morning, are you with me? Then Jesus said in John 14, 17, he says, but you know him, that is the Holy Spirit, for he dwells alongside you, that is that association, and will be in you. The word is a future tense. It was prophetic. And here in John, I want you to write this down because you're If you have any doubts in your mind about this, write this down. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, the two Greek prepositions appear in these two verses. First of all, the word with is para. It means to be alongside you. Para. The second one is the Greek word en, en, and we pronounce it in. And that word means to be assigned to be fixed upon, to be made secure, or to be installed in. Are you with me? Is everybody hanging on to this? As soon as you get it, we'll end and go home. I just don't want to stop right here. This is so important. He's been with you. Now he's in you if you're a believer. Hallelujah. You bet, hallelujah. When did the believers get born again? When were they born again then? In John 14, Jesus was telling them futuristically, he's going to be in you. Well, when? If I would have been Peter, I would have stood, I want him now. Don't tell me about this later stuff. I want him now. I want to know. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies on the cross. Your salvation is purchased and your sins are forgiven. And Jesus appears after his resurrection in John chapter 20, verse 22. And he's speaking to them, and Jesus says to the disciples, actually, when he got done speaking to them, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The word in the Greek is a present tense. They received him right then and there, at that moment. The Holy Spirit had been alongside them all their lives. In John 20, 22, after the resurrection, they were born again. The Holy Spirit moved inside them. Now at that moment, they were saved under what? The New Testament, the New Covenant, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No longer would they ever say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Jesus dispatched the Holy Spirit and said, basically, with all due respect, Holy Spirit, you go inside them and you stay there until I come back for them. He's alongside convicting me. He's inside saying, you are bought with a price and you belong to Jesus. You get away from this stuff.
A fascinating lesson on just one of the ways the Holy Spirit of Almighty God works. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church. It's a look at the first 18 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 11, the part of early church history that is very pivotal when it comes to Messianic Judaism spreading out into the Gentile nations. We'll continue with more of our journey through the book of Acts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Recently here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and in fact on September 11th to commemorate the infamous date, we had three former Muslim terrorists speak from our pulpit. It was, as some have put it, an electric evening. Also, as you can imagine, our security was quite high here at the church that evening. Well, if you weren't able to make it to that well-attended event, here's good news. It's all available now on DVD. It's called Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out, and it's yours for a gift of any size toward the radio outreach of Real Radio. Whether you call, click, or write, just remember the name, Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. You can read more about the DVD set at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Get in touch by telephone using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.